Welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Dan Fernandez.
I'm Clint Arcus.
And Brian Keller is doomed with keynote stuff for Tech Ed, with Tech Ed just a couple weeks away.
Yep.
Tech Ed North America, that is. I know, because we've been there. We weren't even on this show for I don't know how many weeks because of the mixed keynote stuff.
The mixed keynote, yeah.
So our thoughts go out to Brian.
Pour a little beer out for him.
Although I will say it's kind of suspicious. Osama bin Laden disappears. And
so does Keller.
Brian Keller not in the country at the time. Coincidence?
I think so.
Yeah, he's one of the, what's the Navy SEAL team?
Navy SEAL 6.
Could be. Let's jump right into it. So, Nikhil Kothari talks about Script Sharp.
Yes.
So, he did a Mix 11 set talk on this. And this is really his blog post where he does kind of the Scott Goo, goes through it. So what you can see is hopefully maybe some code on the left side there that goes through the C-sharp code that shows you can get things like reading elements from the DOM.
But I think a really quick one big thing is if you don't know what Script Sharp is actually it lets you compile C-sharp down to JavaScript.
Good point. I'm assuming the listener actually knows what Script Sharp is. Good point. And then it actually just shows you how you can do a simple thing, even using jQuery, and then, of course, what the resulting JavaScript is as well. So it's definitely a cool thing. Definitely check it out. If you're looking to get started with Script Sharp, it's a simple tutorial, and watch the Mix 11 session.
Yes. So Anders, a Q&A done by Charles. It's fairly long, at an hour and almost 4 minutes long.
And for people who don't know, Anders, creator of the C-sharp programming language and certainly a lot more, and the primary focus, I think, was a lot of the stuff around the async await that we've talked about before.
Yeah, so there's questions going in from, like, you know, when is async not appropriate to use? What were your thoughts about C-sharp back in the day when it was far more, I'd use the term simple, because I think that's actually what the question was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, interesting to hear what the, you know, the creator thinks of his, you know, baby as it grew up, and now it's this big force. I mean, it's a big language now.
Yeah, I think the other thing is too, if you're only interested in, Charles actually time coded these, so you can jump to the specific question. And I love these examples where you get to participate, ask questions in the coffee house, and then you get to ask one of the premier programming language authors in the world and get him to answer your question.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. So, App Fabric crashing. So, we've talked about the App Fabric services, and we talked about the new SDK. You do need the version 2 SDK. And this does include some of the details on pricing as well. So check out the pricing. I think it's, you know, by basically size. I think it's like 1 gig has one price and so forth.
Yeah, I think it's like one. It goes from anywhere from 128 to 4 gigs, and they go through and tell you this is what each step pricing is.
Right. So and this basic example says like, hey, I'm going to set up a cache, load my default cache settings, then I'm going to be basically cache that, and it's kind of key value style, and basically walks you through also setting up session state and page output caching. So check out the example. It's a pretty simple one, but now that it's kind of out, you see a lot of people maybe that have penciled in to play with that fabric caching. This is at least an easy way to get started.
Yeah. So ASP.NET, ASP.NET MVC 3 tools have been released. So what's big in the update? EF 4.1 update, which
is all that code first stuff.
Yeah,
that we've
I was gonna say
about.
Includes the code first stuff. Built-in data scaffolding includes two really nice templates: HTML5 template along with an intranet template, which then uses Windows identity, Windows authentication versus Forms authentication built into it, so you can just do it along with the updated jQuery libraries.
Yeah, so the HTML5 project templates, for those of you that actually saw the mixed keynote, if you haven't seen the scaffolding features, check out Scott Hanselman's demo, as well as some of the EF code first demos, and even some of the HTML5 stuff, because we now include Modernizer, which is when you're doing HTML, semantic HTML for things like header, footer. Modernizer actually makes sure that it works in down-level browsers, and we're actually including that in the product now as
okay.
well. So lots of stuff to play with.
Yeah, lots of toys.
Cool. So Visual Studio Performance Watson. So Perf Watson is basically, it's a Visual Studio add-in that monitors your performance of Visual Studio.
Yes.
So, you know, once you start adding maybe more add-ins, or maybe just in a clean install, maybe you start noticing certain windows take a long time, you know, you click build and some windows don't refresh, or whatever it happens to be, this helps monitor the performance so that you can understand and send it back. A couple caveats, it doesn't work on XP.
Yes, along with Expression. Or, I'm sorry, Express Edition.
Express Edition.
Sorry
yes.
about that. Express Edition. And one big reason why this is useful for us is because it gives us proper data versus someone saying, hey, this is kind of slow. We can that the data that gets sent back is scrubbed, but it gives us realistic data points that then we can do work on.
So if you feel like Visual Studio is acting slow and you don't know why, run this stuff and it sends this data yeah. back to us. Now, this is obviously opt-in, but it really just helps. You know, you're helping make the Visual Studio product faster.
Yes.
So, do it. The National Instrument Standards and Technology? I always forget the NIST. Yeah, National Institute for Standards and Technology, I think it is. NIST. They built a new website, which I thought was kind of interesting. They actually have a data structure and algorithms. This actually... let's see. There's some that they actually link to, not just the information, but the implementation details.
That's useful.
So you can actually see like an example implementation of, you know, whatever your bubble sort or ways to measure ON performance, for example.
Which is really interesting because I would typically just abuse Wikipedia to figure out, like, here's the proper algorithm to do, you know, like HLV calculations for color. And you look at that, and then you're like, okay, well, here's the complex, you know, proper formula. Let's make this into a realistic computer algorithm.
Right. So it's pretty cool. Think of it maybe, you know, a lot of people would probably just, you know, use their favorite search engine or Wikipedia or whatever. But this is probably more just like domain specific to just algorithms and data structures. So cool stuff. Mercurial. Everybody's talking Mercurial. So, Distributed Version Source Control, DVCS, as it's known. This talk is actually from the guys at Fog Creek.
Yes.
So, a lot of people know Fog Creek Software, Joel Spolsky, and they have a product called Kiln. But this basically walks through DVCS, working with multiple people, and some of the different scenarios that DVCS really shines on. So if you haven't seen Mercurial or are interested in learning about DVCS, check it out. It's a pretty simple example. And it's like the first video that you'd use, or the first thing that you...
Yeah, it's like your hello world to distributed source control.
Yes. Correct, sir. And it's an hour long, so it's a good time. Now an update, the .NET Reflector guys. This is Neil Davidson on the .NET Reflector and Redgate, the company, of course, basically talking about how they reversed some of their Reflector decision. So you can really go through, I suggest reading it to kind of understand their viewpoint, what they were looking to do, giving the sort of backstory of working with LUT and so forth. But the big news is that current users of...
is it 6.8,
Yeah, so...
So moving, if you have the current
version. For .NET Reflector 7.0, current users of Reflector will have the option of downloading a free perpetual. Perpetual means just forever. It's a fancy way, just make sure, in case people don't know perpetual, version of Reflector 6.8. So
yes.
Free.
Of that version.
Forever. Of that version. Yes.
Ship it.
Yeah, and they walk through. So I don't want to see what people think. You know, a lot of people.
There was lots of dislike, I'll use the word, toward the upgrade thing. I mean, I can see both sides of the argument.
They call out some of the flames as well, and I think what you're seeing is this decision maybe tarnishing developers' viewpoints on Redgate across their products, right? It's like, oh, those are the people that did a Reflector, right? Yeah. No.
Yeah.
So we'll see, and there's certainly what you've also seen is just a huge outcropping of people doing these sort of features, whether it's JetBrains,
Telerik, I believe, has one.
Yeah, Telerik does.
IL Spy, I think that's correct, or is it IM Spy?
Mono has one that we've covered before, so kind of interesting to see the explosion of these kind of tools.
I think ReSharper will have it built in for the next version.
Yeah, that was the JetBrains reference.
Way not to pay attention, Clint.
So John Galloway, friend of the show,
yes,
friend of Channel 9. John's got a couple good two good posts, actually. First one's just ASP.NET using anti-XSS for I think it was HTML encoding, and this particular one, it's working through MVC.
Yes.
And ways to, like, oh, I'm fine because I'm watching for HTML encoding. And he walks through an example of actually using JavaScript encoding. So, for example, in the username, you're actually passing in a JavaScript. Hey, great. A potentially thing was found.
Yeah.
Everything's fine. Except when you encode it with JavaScript encoding, which is
it's hex.
3C.
So they're hexing it, and then
you actually get a pop-up that says pinned. I think that's how you pronounce every...
No, the key thing here is what he's showing is this is a real-life, valid cross-site scripting thing. You should never, an end user should never be able to do what he's showing here, and he walks through how to fix it.
Yeah, it is the anti-XSS library that is, I think, currently in a beta, but he walks through how to use it, and primarily around, you know, the number one concern being the JavaScript encoding.
Yes.
So, cool stuff. Good to add. I'm gonna email Duncan this immediately.
Parallel programming.
Speaking of Duncan, this is Greg Duncan. So, an interesting find here. They packaged up all of the parallel programming articles. So this is everything on TPL, parallel link, their new data types, data models, and so forth. So best practices, and even some interesting ones, like using PLink and Office add-ins, which I think is kind of interesting.
Wow.
So what could you do to parallelize crunching numbers in Excel or something? For example, when to use parallel for each with PLink.
Like on syncing primitives, thread-safe collections.
Thread-safe collections is a really interesting one because it's a very common one where, you know, I have this big thing and I want to walk through. This is the international symbol for parallel programming. And walk through that collection and do some particular tasks.
Yeah.
And then the other stuff as well is probably more the... how I go through specific models, and I think they had some things within here as well, which is the TPL, which is I'm going through specific tasks and task relationships.
Yeah.
Right, so I go through one, through the order, and that sort of stuff, ordering models and so forth. So lots to play with.
Yes, there's lots. There's 2, 4, 6,
12?
I'll just say 12.
12?
Yeah, because it says 12 up there.
Yeah. We are crack team here at Channel 9. Fantastic. So, picks of the week.
Picks of the week.
Explosions.
So, this is by Den, who I'm afraid to...
Dennis Delamarski?
Let's go with that.
Yeah.
Okay. He wrote a Coding for Fun article for us recently. Here, he is playing with a Netduino along with a four-digit shield. So, he's talking about how to use I2C and be able to talk to the LED matrix.
So this is an LED matrix, all these little things, and I think one of the cool parts is, like, the sample that was built in was using just one character, and he basically does the version to write like an entire sentence. He writes it so that it can kind of scroll in like a ticker.
Yeah.
From either side to do the inversion of it as well, so like all the dark becomes white, white becomes dark, basically color flipping as well.
So he's gonna probably do a bunch more with Netduino, and the crazy thing is he's a college kid. This is a student in college, and he's doing all these really cool things. He did a bunch of WP7 stuff as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
A lot of good stuff. We got to see him at Mix, too.
Yeah, I know.
If you ran into him, so yeah, it was good stuff. So speaking of Mix, our good friend Michael Zollner, who had done the Navi keynote demo, the navigation for visual impairment, I think it was?
I believe so. That's the guys with the construction hats with the
connect on
top.
Doing augmented reality markers to know where you are and give you indoor GPS.
Yes.
For lack of a better word. So the way this works is, and again, it is just a prototype, but the idea is that you can actually take a 3D hologram of yourself and then put it on top of a carbonite base and export that 3D model and actually have a 3D printer of it. So I think if you can pull this off and you have a detailed camera, I would totally buy myself in carbonite.
Does this mean I can get myself a 3D printer?
No. No, it does not. I'm saying I would buy the output of the 3D printer. Damn you. But maybe, I think it's fun. The problem with 3D printers is they are pretty slow.
Yeah, and they're kind of expensive. There are, you know, the MakerBot ones, et cetera, et cetera. That's a different discussion.
I know, 10 years from now, those things are going to be amazing.
Yeah.
It's like dot matrix today. But, so cool stuff. That's our show.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next week.